Isn't it interesting that the church spends 4 weeks of Advent, and I've just lit these Advent candles, 4 weeks of Advent preparing for the birth of Christ. And this just completed season focuses on what it means that the Son of God arrived in this world through the womb of a virgin named Mary. And the season climaxes on Christmas morning when we celebrate joyfully the birth of our Saviour Jesus. And some of us gathered to do that thing in this place. Well, the next major event on the Christian calendar is Epiphany, comes next week. Traditionally, it marks Jesus' baptism and the beginning of his public ministry. And in the weeks and months that follow, we ponder the splendour of his life and teachings. And what amazes me is this. We spend 4 whole weeks getting ready for just one day, Christmas Day, the day of Jesus' birth. But only 1 week in our church calendar preparing for the inauguration of his life and ministry. Well, this text before us today, which Malcolm read just a moment or two ago, this text from Luke's Gospel, from chapter 2 and verse 41 to 52, is the only story that details an event between Christmas and Jesus' appearance with John at the Jordan River some 3 decades later. But what of those first 30 years of his life prior to the formal beginning of his ministry? All we have is this story of the 12-year-old Jesus at the temple. And at the heart of it all is the strange retort of Jesus to his parents, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" What is this? Well, in some ways, this is a very common story. We know from the historians that Jewish families of the day often made at least one pilgrimage to Jerusalem each year. And here they come when Jesus was 12 years old, just the right age for bar mitzvah. In his world, he was almost grown up. Up until this time, Jesus' father's business was that of carpentry, and he would follow in his earthly father's footsteps. But there would be more. And as we look at this text, notice also the very common account of his separation from Mary and Joseph. To lose a child in a crowded place is a tragedy of overwhelming anxiety. And most of us, at some time or another, can recall just such an event, perhaps in our own lives, perhaps from the lives of those around us. And normally, Mary and Joseph are outraged. "We've been looking for you everywhere," they cry. Everywhere, that is, except the temple. It seems it was the last place they went. Nonetheless, there they finally found him, and where, as we also might be, they were a bit miffed. Jesus then takes center stage, and sounding more like an adult than a child, he reasons with his parents. "You should have known where I was." He places the blame on the parents for worrying. He really was one of us. And then comes the word of teaching. "Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business?" This is a story that confronts us with the demands of believing faith. Notice here the astonishment of the parents of Jesus. They hear these words. It would be for them a preview of what was to follow. But in truth, they really had no idea, just as they had no idea what lay before them when they headed off for Bethlehem all these years before. What we see now is a young Jesus going back to his parents' home, being subject to them, and waiting for nearly another 20 years before he would look up from the carpenter's bench and move out into the public arena of teaching and preaching. It was a long time to wait and to prepare. But move out he would. The claim to his life was not forgotten. His Father's business, that of the Heavenly Father, it had not evaporated. And from this point on, Jesus had a new directness in his life. Faith in the Father's business changes things. And of all people, we who are Christians should know that it's never enough to leave the baby in the manger. Some will pack Jesus away until next year, but we cannot, and we will not. We will choose in all the days that lie ahead to live as faith dictates, lovingly and sacrificially, living by faith. I wonder if you notice the twist in this passage. Following the scolding Jesus received from his parents, something changes. Up until that point, they all went up to Jerusalem from Nazareth. But following that event, Jesus became the leader. He went down to Nazareth, and his parents accompanied him. The child led the way. And we are called to follow Jesus out of Jerusalem and into the life of preaching, teaching, and ministry. That life will surely take twists and turns we can't anticipate, and it will often seem complicated and confusing. The path will take us all the way to a grotesque cross on which the Prince of Glory died, and beyond to the glorious resurrection on the first Easter Sunday. We may well miss the specifics of life of many of those around us this morning, but we dare not neglect the life of Jesus. And once we're tuned to the intricacies of his life, we're far more prepared to listen intently to the life issues of those around us. We believe that each day and in each life, Jesus is at work doing the Father's business. Surely we don't understand it all, but we do trust him and love him and commit to follow him all the days of life. Today, we may very well be saying Merry Christmas for the last time this year. For now is the time to enter into the joy of the life of a disciple. And may we, with heartfelt resolve, choose the deeper joy that comes when we, like our Lord, declare, I must be about my Father's business. Not my will, but thine be done. Let us pray.